Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power! Hey, yeah. I used to be fancy free, lonesome as can be. One lucky day, you came my way.
Good afternoon, Phoenix.
What love was all about until
hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. Welcome to the Power Hour. It is an incredibly beautiful day here downtown Phoenix, Arizona. The 29th day of January. The month is flying by. What's up, Eric?
How you doing there, buddy?
I could not possibly be better. If I was any better, I'd be you, my man.
Oh, yeah, you know
it. The fabulous Natasha sitting in with us here today. What's up, Natasha?
Good afternoon, everyone.
It's lovely to see you here now. Man, it's got to be nice out today. How's the weather out there? What's the temperature, you think, Eric?
A couple of degrees past gorgeous.
From winter to spring.
You gotta like that game.
When you kissed me.
Obviously, last week we could not get enough of Marlena Shaw. So we brought her back for a little something extra here this afternoon. Oh my goodness. It is now 2 minutes past the hour of 5 here in Phoenix, 2 minutes past the hour, wherever you may be around the globe. What a fabulous day, as Eric put it, 2 degrees past gorgeous. Wow, and what? Look at the world, it's changing so fast. You know, the first African-American president of these United States and the Cardinals, there, so the Cardinals are in the Super Bowl. Can you still get your head around that? I mean, come on, Eric, tell
me. It's amazing, never thought I'd see that happen.
Never thought we'd see that happen, ever. They are in the Super Bowl, it's like, wow, this is amazing. A little bit more Marlena Shaw for you guys here. This is taken from her 2002 album, Live in Tokyo, Japan. And let me tell you, she just flat out tears it up. Hopefully later in the show, we will tell you more and more about her because she's one of my favorite artists. And I gave the fabulous Natasha a copy of our CD that we were listening to last week. And what do you think about that, baby, huh?
Oh, I love it. I'm just the only CD I'm listening. I got rid of all other ones I've got in my car.
Well, I tell you what, you know, and Natasha's back taking her singing lessons, and no better person to take as a mentor than Marlena Shaw. Just a little bit of information from her bio. Marlena was born Marlena Burgess, or Marlene Bradshaw, September 22nd. 1942 in New Rochelle, New York. And she attended New York State Teachers College. How about that? Now it's called State University of New York, for those of you who are not up to speed. So, I mean, she's a true survivor, gang. She's done it all. She's done gospel, of course. She started there. But she just crosses these musical boundaries with ease. R&B, disco, but... without changing her personality. I mean, she's soulful, sometimes sharp and a little bit jaded. I mean, she'll come at you a little bit there. And we're going to try to show you different sides of Marlena Shaw as our musical guest host today. And again, I told you, she's traveled with some of the best. Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, just to mention a couple. And toured with Sammy Davis Jr. She's... Just an unbelievable, just all around skill. But she's at her best when she's performing live. Like we are listening to right now. Give us a little bit more of that, Eric.
Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, baby, I never knew what love was all about till I met you.
Love it. Marlena Shaw. More coming on that as we get into the Power Hour live in Tokyo 2002. You're going to love it. We've got a great show on tap for you guys today. I mean, just a fabulous show. I'm very excited about it. We are cooking next door in my in the Mac Daddy's today. The music is going over in Mac Daddy's. You know, Eric, we don't cook any food in Mac Daddy's unless the music is playing. Because if the music is playing, the music tastes better, the food tastes better. That's the way it goes. Do you agree with that, darling?
Absolutely.
No question. What is your favorite meal over at Mac Daddy's, Natasha?
I love catfish nuggets.
Okay.
That would be my favorite, number
really?
One.
Okay, number one.
I love ribeye wraps.
And what she means ribeye wraps, gang, is what we take some prime ribeye steak. We cut it into strips, and we marinate it for about 48 hours, and then we cook it on the grill, and we wrap it in some grilled collard green leaves with some avocado and some pico de gallo, and it is absolutely amazing. That's one of your favorites too, huh?
Absolutely, yes.
Real tasty.
Very tasty. I love shrimp tacos, as you know.
Yeah, the shrimp tacos are great. We and instead of regular taco shells, we have the Napa cabbage leaves that are formed exactly like tacos, and you've got your smoked shrimp, and you've got your guacamole that we make right here at Mac Daddy's, and you just mix it all together, just fix it up. So that's her favorite. You heard the fabulous Natasha just told you. So don't say that you don't know. Okay. Don't say that. As I said, we got a great show on tap today. A little bit more on decision making in our monologue. Just kind of finish that up. Pick up a little bit more on our quantum leaps, our 15 steps. And hopefully we'll get started on the Dirty Dozen today. Well, those character traits, behavioral characteristics that sometimes can hold you down. But first, of course, like we always do, we got to throw some shout outs. Help me out here. Shout outs. Of course, Ray down in Southern California. Albert shouting me up here in Phoenix, long distance all the way from South Florida. Mark and Kim here in Phoenix, thanks a bunch for all your cards. Nick up in Denver, and I guess we got an email here. What was that email? Let me just see if I can pull it up on my computer. I think it was Ray. And he's turning other people. See Ray. Ray is turning people on to the Power Hour. Sent me an email that he's telling his friends about it. And so thanks a lot, Ray. I appreciate that. He thought the last show was great. And he sent me a copy of the email that he sent out. So really appreciate that. Guy, hey, listen, do me a favor. Tell your friends. Let's let more and more people tune in to the Power Hour. We've got something going on with that. Okay, what else we got on the show today? Our main topic, of course, is going to be picking up where we left off last week. I think we're step number 8 on the 15 steps from the old you to the new you, and hopefully we'll get into the Dirty Dozen. But, of course, our shout-outs continuing on. Nick up in Denver. I'm going to be seeing Nick. We're going up to Denver in March, the 14th and 15th. We're going up to Denver to do several seminars and also some Taekwondo seminars as well. Big crowds always there. As I mentioned to you guys, Nick just recently celebrated his 27th anniversary with me, Eric, as his instructor. Wow, can you imagine? So I want to send a shout out to the Bevzilla and Peter DeFalco here in Phoenix. Thanks for the emails. Good to see you, Peter, in the house. You're looking good. Of course, you need to get back with the Mac Daddy. And I know you do too, Bev. Stop in and say hello. And of course, to Dottie, where you at? Always sending out a shout to you. You know, to finish up our talk that we've been having here about, you know, decision-making, I wrote an essay last Thursday night or Wednesday night, was it? I stayed late. Do you remember what night that was?
I think it was Thursday.
Thursday night.
After the show, actually, you got excited.
Oh, okay. I got excited.
Inspired.
Yeah, that's what it was. I did the show, and I got so it was last Thursday night. Okay. Last Thursday, I got all fired up, and I wrote this essay. So I'm going to share it with you today. Not what we really had planned, but I'm going to share it with you today anyway. I started it off with a quote by William Jennings Bryan. Destiny is not a matter of chance. It is a matter of choice. It is not a thing to be waited for. It is a thing to be achieved. A lot of people see destiny is just that. Something that just happens to them randomly sometimes, but it's not. It's a matter of choice. It's something you choose. Your destiny is your choice based on the decisions that you make. It is not something that you sit around and wait to happen, your destiny to come to you. It is a thing to be achieved. William Jennings Bryan. Decisions have the power to change your life. Consider this. The dreams you have realized in life to this point are those dreams that you've made decisions to go after. You decided to go for it in one way or another. So powerful is decision making that W. Clement Stone said that even bad decisions are better than no decisions at all. In a speech he delivered in Chicago in the mid-1980s, he also proposed the radical idea that the lack of effective decision making has landed most people where they are in life today. Simply put, he said, poor people haven't made a decision to be rich. Fat people haven't made a decision to be slim. Sick people haven't made a decision to be healthy. And failures haven't made a decision to be successful. W. Clement Stone says it's just that simple. I thought, it can't possibly be that simple. I objected strongly because my life at that time reflected many of the examples he chose to use in his speech, as well as several others. My finances were in ruin. My left hip had recently been replaced and was not doing well, and I had few, if any, meaningful, fulfilling relationships. And time has revealed the truth, gang, the undeniable truth that the bold statement of W. Clement Stone is so very, very true. At the time, I didn't understand or realize that the decisions, or lack of, made by me in response to my failing hip dismal finances and my lack of meaningful relationships were very truly going to determine my future. A decision is more than just wishing and longing and wanting and desiring. These are not the same as pursuing a dream. These are mental states, and while they can play an important role in helping you achieve your goal, they are essentially passive. Action, on the other hand, is active. According to Stone, making a decision is a springboard to action. Some people confuse wishing and wanting with action. They've been wishing and wanting so long, they start believing they're actually in action. They don't know that they have to make a conscious decision first. In addition, making a decision is also making a commitment to stop what you're doing and head down a different path. Stone adds, a true decision results in your inability to even imagine living your life without achieving your goal. How powerful is that? In other words, the truest form of a paradigm shift. At the time all of these examples of mental and emotional unwellness were dawning on me, I really needed to change my financial reality. I was the very definition of living from paycheck to paycheck. The only problem was, I didn't get a paycheck. I ran a business. I didn't get paid. I had no idea when more money was coming in or how much. So in the interest of my own mental wellness, I hoped it was as simple as W. Clement Stone made it out to be, because I had reached a point where I was ready to buy in lock, stock, and barrel. So I sat down and began to make several key decisions concerning my life, my future, my destiny. At the time, I lived in a small basement apartment on North 32nd Street. You don't see many of those in Phoenix, Eric. You don't see many basement apartments, but I managed to find one. It was a very small one on North 32nd Street, and I was also, at the time, several months behind in my rent. I had ignored the many notices sent to me in the mail, thinking maybe they would all just go away. They didn't. One day, I was checking my mail in the courtyard, and the manager came out of her office and handed me a letter. She was a very nice lady, and she felt badly it had come to this. I opened it while she stood there, and it was an eviction notice. I had 6 days to get out. She looked sadly at me and said, "I'm sorry, Mac," but I cut her off, and I said, "Don't worry, it doesn't matter. I've already made another decision. I've made a decision to be rich." She looked at me with a look that you usually reserve for people who are completely out of touch with reality. Poor Mac, she seemed to be thinking. Here he is being evicted, and he's talking about being rich. But all she actually said was, good luck. And I've never seen her since. Yes, I'd already made several key decisions earlier that day. I'd made a decision to be rich, not well off, rich. I even looked up the definition of what it took to be rich in America. I knew how to get by. I had lots of experience getting by. I wanted to be rich. I'd made a decision to be healthy. I wanted to teach Taekwondo again. I wanted to run. I wanted to fly in the air and kick, not just walk. I'd made a decision to open myself up emotionally to a meaningful relationship, not just someone to hang out with, but someone to truly be with. Yeah, something real. I'd made a commitment to myself and to the new thought process that required. W. Clement Stone taught me how. Having been in Taekwondo most of my life, I was a great student, no doubt. I started thinking differently. This was exciting. That first decision led to another, and then another, until I discovered what would work. It was like skipping stones, gang, across a pond. I loved it. This was life at its absolute best. When I made those decisions back in 1988, it changed everything. When you exist in a state of indecisiveness, you have, in fact, already made a decision. You've simply chosen not to do anything. You're at a standstill. Even a poor decision is preferable at this point because it at least gets you moving. As Mark Twain said, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you stand there long enough. Becoming an effective or obsessive decision maker changed my life forever. My finances, my mental wellness, my relationships are all on the right track today, and that has allowed me to control my destiny, pursue other goals, and hopefully help make the world a better place. Gang, that's all I've got for you on decision making for now. I've put in a firm weight-bearing wall in a building that we're making now, that we're building on the 15 steps from the old you to the new you. And we're going to start putting up some framework and some drywall as we get into goal setting in the weeks to come. It is now 17 minutes past the hour of 5 here in Phoenix on a beautiful day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And I hope it is where you are as well. If you want to give me a shout out, send me an email to 7@macnewton.com. And of course, visit www.macnewton.com, the place where winners go. All right, let's pick up where we left off last week. We did number 7, I think, didn't we, Natasha?
Yes,
I think we finished up number 7 and 8. So we're going to pick up right there with number 9, and maybe we'll even get to 10. Let's see. We got to 8. Let's pick up with number 9. I'm not going to bother to review those, because you know why, Eric? Because it's already on record here. It's uploaded on the website. I mean, if you're listening now, well, let's just move on to the new stuff. If you missed any part of 1 through 8. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go on back and listen to that show. It'll be good for you. In fact, when Mark was in his email, he says, you know what? I'm listening to this, to your show for the second time right now anyway, and I just was compelled to send you an email. It was so powerful. All right, we've got plenty of time left, so let's just jump right back in to step number 9 on the 15 steps from the old you to the new you. And not only do we want to move and change our lives dramatically, but we want to do it quickly. We want to do it quickly, Natasha. We don't just want to just hang out and spend the next 20, 25 years doing this now. I'm talking to people who want to get into the fast lane right now. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, let's do it right now. I think we've all dreamed dreams that have been ours for the taking. In fact, almost all of those dreams that you've had were well within your reach. Number 9 is entitled Trust in the Power of Pursuit. As I said in my opening monologue, those passive traits of wishing, longing, wanting, desiring, they're not the same as pursuing your dream. And so let me just talk about that step with you. The simple secret is in the seeking. As it says biblically, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. The secret is in the seeking pursuit. Dreams begin to crystallize. They begin to come reality when you chase them. The world behaves differently when you actually take action to go after what you want. What you wish could be starts being, starts becoming. The dream moves in your direction. It begins to come to you even as you reach for it. Consider this. Let's just think about, even when you were in high school or college or later, and you're thinking, wow, I'd really love to date so-and-so, or what's her name? She's so pretty, she's so nice, but you do nothing about it. And maybe you run into her in a grocery store some years later, or you see her at the mall, and you're both adults now, and you fess up, Eric. You say, you know, I always had a crush on you. You know, I always liked you. And you know what she said? Why didn't you say something? I liked you too. Why didn't you say something? Or maybe you'll look at someone and you think, what is that great looking gal doing with that loser of a guy? You know how he got her? Because he went after her. He pursued her. He went, and that's how you get it. Okay? Reaching for your dream is behaving, moving, and it shortens the distance between where you are and your desired goal. As I said earlier, most people confuse that whole wishing and wanting with desiring. Your desire, you know, it may be deep, it may be desperate, but when that desire fails to produce results, people then conclude that the dream was not meant to be theirs. Actually, the only proof you have at this point is that the longing and your wishing and wanting is not enough to bring about results. Okay? That cannot, has not, will not deliver the goods. Pursuit is what makes the difference. Reaching for what you want alters the odds, and it alters the odds immediately. It alters them dramatically. It alters them drastically. What you want then becomes part of a dynamic exchange between you and the universe in partnership. I mean, when you act, when you create your aiming point and you start action, you extend yourself toward the dream and you magnetize it, and it starts coming to you at warp speed. This whole premise of moving from the old you to the new you is firmly based in this philosophy of the pursuit. You've got to go after it, gang. You're sitting there wanting and wishing. You've got to take some action. Quantum leaps require you to go on the offensive. You cannot achieve the type of exponential gains you're looking for now when you are sitting in a defensive posture. You can't just sit back there in a defensive stance and make a quantum leap. You got to move on that dream. That means you must leave the safety of cover. You've got to move out from behind that little secure place that you've been sitting in, watching your life go by. You want things to get better, but you want to stay the same. No. You must place your trust. You must place your belief in action. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be answered. Seek and it will be opened unto you. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. That dream shall be yours. You have to feel it's part of your destiny. The decision or the relationship between decisions and destiny is a very, very intensely intimate relationship. But the only way that you can, in fact, secure your destiny and lock it up is by believing in the power of Pursuit. It is now 25 minutes past the hour, gang, and this is the Power Hour. We meet every Thursday here at MacNewton.com. My name is Mac Newton, and what makes the show go is, of course, Eric behind the glass. He's the one pushing the buttons and turning the knobs and making everything sound good. And, of course, our even though this is radio, we have got to have some eye candy in the studio. That is the job of the fabulous Natasha. She's looking fabulous today. This is good. You feel good, baby?
I feel great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And we're just going to see if we can do more and more. You know what? You guys are going to be able to see the fabulous Natasha very soon, because we're coming out with our brand new TV commercials for Newton Fitness, of which we are going to be putting on our website, and you're going to be able to see her exercise and work out. In fact, as we change our website, you're going to be able to log on and answer a few questions and figure out exactly what workout is appropriate for you. That's one of the things that's going to be on MacNewton.com, Eric, where you're going to be able to just log on there, and then you're going to be able to download it to wherever you are. Coming up soon after that, you'll be able to take part in actual live broadcast classes, live, wherever you are, in your office or at home, with the Mac Daddy and the fabulous Natasha. So, get ready, gang. Lots of good things coming down the way right there on MacNewton.com. So, do me a favor. Tell all your friends about it. You know, we're going to maybe get to one more today. Maybe we'll get to 10. We'll have 5 more after that. Of the 15 steps from the old you to the new you. If you've noticed, Eric, I'm not in a hurry to get these things done, because I want people to take time to mull it over, to marinate this, and just take some time with these thoughts. I'm going to start, before our break, I'm going to start the next one. Number 10. Seek failure. Come on, Mac Daddy, you've gone too far with that. No, I haven't, gang. No, I haven't. Seek failure. Eric, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but just give me your opinion. What do you think the average age of a self-made millionaire in America is today? What do you think?
35.
35? Mm-hmm. Okay, the average age of a self-made millionaire in America today is 54 years of age. Mm-hmm. I asked that question this morning in my class, and I got 35, 40, 39, it's a couple even late 20s. It's a long way away. Here, one more question for you. How many times do you think the average self-made millionaire has gone belly up in business? I mean, lost it all.
10, 15 times.
10, 15 times. A lot of people say 6. I'm talking about the average. I mean, the average could go from, you know, the real average. 18 times. Wow. Having lost it all, gone completely belly up. I've lost everything 9 times. I've gone out of business 9 times. It takes that much experience to learn the lessons that you need to be ultimately successful. What kind of perseverance does that take? I actually went out of business and restarted once in the same day. I had to move out of one business and actually moved into another the same day once. You can't just be successful your first time because you don't have enough experience. You need to learn your lessons along the way. In other words, you need to fail forward. You have to fail forward.
Yeah, they say Edison failed couple thousand times before he invented the light bulb.
You have no clue. He failed over 11,000 times. In fact, he was interviewed with that, and he said, you know what? This guy said, you know, you're just making a fool of yourself. You're making a fool of yourself. But in the scientific community, he says, you know what? I haven't failed at all, not even one time. What I've done is identify 11,000 ways in which it will not work. And when he finally discovered the way it does work, he discovered it dead, solid, perfect. And that's for sure. Number 10, seek failure. Well, that's obviously the one we're going to get back to after the break, gang. We're going to pick it. So you guys don't go very far away. We're going to talk a little bit more about Marlena Shaw right now. She, of course, did a lot, most of her recording with the Columbia label. But when she really got hooked up with the Playboy Club in Chicago, Illinois, back in 1966, and she really became she really started making strides and honed her jazz skills into a vocalist and took off shortly after that with the prestigious Count Basie Orchestra. We'll listen to a little bit more of Marlena Shaw. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. You're listening to the Power Hour. Don't go away. You stay right where you are. We will be right back right after these words.
The Power Hour is brought to you by
Quail Plumbing, a full-service plumbing contractor serving the Valley for over 18 years.
Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. You know, even today, no matter what goes on in our economy, certain things go on, and they will not change. And that is your need for an effective plumbing company. And what is more irksome than having a plumber that doesn't get it done the first time and has to come out again and again? Well, I can tell you through personal experience, I've dealt with Quail Plumbing over the last 3 years. I've dealt with Quail Plumbing as they built Mac Daddy's, and I've seen them provide high quality plumbing service. And you know what? They provide this not just on demand, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they've done this in the Valley, as you heard Eric say, for over 18 years. In addition, Quail Plumbing has a full-service, brand-new construction department that specializes in custom homes and remodels. And now is a great time if you're looking to do some remodeling for getting a great deal. And there's no one better to call for that than Quail Plumbing. You've got all types of commercial and a residential construction. What you want to do? Visit Quail Plumbing at Quail Plumbing. That's Q-U-A-I-L, quailplumbing.com. Or if you're in town or anywhere around, call 602-493-9822. That's 602-493-9822 for more information or to set up an appointment with a highly trained professional from Quail Plumbing and tell them you heard about it and the Power Hour and the Mac Daddy sent you.
The Power Hour is brought to you by
Widmer Chiropractic, a fixture on Camelback Road for over 15 years.
Hey, gang, I'm back again. My name is Mac Newton, and I'm here to talk to you about Whitmire Chiropractic. I teach Taekwondo 5 or 6 days a week. So you know what my body looks and feels like? It looks like a pretzel. I mean, my hips are twisted one way, and my hamstrings are going another. My shoulders, sometimes it's hard sometimes even sleeping. But you know what? I'm really talking about the past. That's not the way it is today. You know why? I see Randall Whitmire at Whitmire Chiropractic at least once a week. And I mean, he uses a unique technique called the activator method. It's a gentle, low force program. No, he's not gonna take your body and jerk it and twist your neck around and twist your body and cause more problems than they solve. This is one of the safest, most precise techniques in use in chiropractic today. And the thing about it is, he's been, as Eric said, on Camelback Road for over 15 years. And he was on Indian School Road for about 10 years before that. So you know this guy knows what he's doing. Randall Whitmire. They offer convenient day and evenings appointments to meet your schedule. And they have experienced and individualized care that just sets them apart in the industry. And I can tell you right now, after you get an adjustment at Randall Whitmire, and by the way, Randall also works out at Newton Fitness, so he's in top shape. So he knows what to do to make sure you're at your very best, both physically and mentally. Okay, you want to know how to contact him? Like I said, they're over on Camelback Road. They're at Camelback Road and 44th Street. So give them a call, 954-6200. 602-954-6200. That's Whitmire Chiropractic. Tell them you heard about it right here on the Power Hour and the Mac Daddy sent you. Hey, gang, welcome back.
Those big brown eyes,
I told you I had a good show for you today, didn't I? That made my heart I wasn't kidding. Skip a beat. I thought that I'd got it. Our musical guest host today, the fabulous Marlena Shaw. I couldn't tell. We're talking jazz at its absolute best. She's touring with Count Basie. She's performed with Sammy Davis Jr.
And it looks like love
Dizzy Gillespie. Miles Davis. She really knows how to phrase a song.
Well, I don't think that I can find
of course,
it.
I don't have to tell you that. You're listening to it.
I am getting so excited.
From her fabulous 2002 released version, live in Tokyo, the fabulous Marlena Shaw. As I said last week, I had the pleasure to not only see her perform, but enjoy her company for a drink and some fabulous conversation when she appeared last year at the Scottsdale Center for the Arts, and she is fabulous. I compare her to Sarah Vaughan and Dinah Washington, not the total range of vocal quality, but just the quality of her performance, especially live. If you get the chance, do not miss it. Now, pardon my language on this, but it's the title of her song. In 1974, she came out with one of my favorite CDs of all time, entitled Who Is This Bitch Anyway? And it just gave a clue to the evolving approach of her stage show, where she's mixed humor and just improvised monologues. She's just a fabulous performer and one of my favorites. Okay, gang, Marlena Shaw. Take a gamble and you won't lose much. But all pick something up like that.
Seem to fade away.
Oh, welcome back to the show. Well, we had just started off on number 10 right before the break. And let me just pull something else out of my bag here. You know, I always get my bag really close by so I can always take a necessary diversion if I have to. And that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to just take a little diversion and do into something that we're going to do in a few weeks. Because number 10 borrows directly from one of the reasons why people don't set goals, because they are afraid of failure. See, people don't understand the importance of failure. I mean, in the whole psychology of achievement. I mean, you have to be willing to risk failure. I mean, there's no way you can realize your full potential unless you fail so many times that you eventually learn the lessons necessary to go on to those great achievements. Those are the words, word for word, verbatim, that I wrote down from Brian Tracy face to face, and I underlined them. There is no way you can realize your full potential unless you have failed so many times that you have eventually learned the lessons you need to go on to your great successes. In other words, you fail forward. Yep, you fail forward. Failure is not something that tells you you're not supposed to have what you're going after. It's simply telling you you need more experience. Okay, let's get back to my notes for number 10. You can't just hunker down in a safe zone of behavior where you have beaten the odds of failing. An unwillingness to encounter defeat, an unwillingness to run into problem, it outlaws the possibility of a quantum leap. Unless you allow yourself to make mistakes, unless you allow yourselves to fail and understand its importance, you will never have the opportunity to test the limits of what you're truly are capable of. What's that you say? You're not interested in testing the limits of what you're capable of? Then guess what, gang? Then I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who are willing to test the limits of what they're capable of. Am I talking to you, Natasha? Am I talking to you? Do you want to test the limits of what you're capable of? Is that why you're taking singing lessons? Do you want to go out on the limb and find out what you're capable of doing? Is it?
Absolutely.
Because you know what? Natasha was a famous singer in Russia. She sang Russian folk songs. She's now studying opera, operatic singing, and jazz singing. She wants to find out what her limits are, not hunker down in some safe zone. You got to realize that if you're experiencing no difficulties, if you're experiencing no problems in your goal setting in your life, then you've probably aimed too low. You've leveled off in your growth. You've slowed down. You probably are far from reaching your limits. So you've got to think once you set your aiming point and you take action and you continue your pursuit. Those are the three actions that you need. Now, so you got to think of problems that come up at this point, or some pain as a positive sign. You're going to get a performance lag, and it occurs at the very outset when you're making a quantum leap. It's that pause that happens during which you're all poised for the jump. It's the loss of momentum that occurs in the process of changing gears. You can't stay in first gear, can you, Eric? I mean, you just can't stay in first gear. I mean, you have got to shift gears. But as you shift out of first into neutral, there's a little bit of a slowdown, and then you shift into second, and now you accelerate. We can understand that when we apply it to an automobile. Why can't we understand it to our lives? That when you shift gears, there's going to be a little bit of a fallback period. But too many people, when they experience that little bit of a lull, they go, oh, no, 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 no. And they retreat to the safety of the previous status quo. Oh, what that guarantees is they're never going to reach the limits. They're never going to move beyond the bounds of extended mediocrity for their lives. Never. What you're going to do is deliberately destabilize yourself when you break out of your old habit patterns, when you move from the old you to the new you. You're going to create some inner chaos for yourself. So be prepared for that possibility. Some confusion, a little anxiety, and certainly some failure. Don't let it scare you. That's part of the opening yourself up to whole new methods, new possibilities. Possibilities that have the potential to deliver exponential performance gains, not sequential performance gains, not more of the same, because more of the same just gives you more of the same. And if more of the same is what you're looking for, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those that want to go way beyond where they are right now. Am I talking to you, Al? Am I talking to you? So often in life, it seems that things first get worse on the way toward getting better. So be prepared for that kind of development to happen. Problems belong in this process. They're part of the equation that produces the new you. When you're moving from the old you to the new you, somewhere there in the middle, there's a mess going on. I've got a video of my open heart surgery that I did 11 years ago in Stanford University to correct a birth defect. Oh, man. You got to have a strong stomach to watch that bad boy. They opened my chest up with a circular saw. And in the middle of it, you think there's no way possible that that person could survive this operation. I mean, even when you're making a cake, the kitchen is a mess. So going from the old you to the new you, somewhere in the middle, it's going to be a mess. So problems belong in there. I mean, you just can't make a cake without getting the kitchen a little messy, gang. That's what's going to happen. So you got to be prepared for a little chaos. You just do. You got to be able to tolerate a little ambiguity in your life. You got to be able to tolerate a little bit of that stuff. Okay? Now, once you... Here's another example I just thought of. And I remember reading about this, you know, when they recently, I guess now it's been a couple of years ago, when they shot that Mars that rover, and they were talking about how it was off course for 99% of the trip. Yeah, exactly. You, that's what you do. You send a rocket toward Mars, okay? And 99% of the way, it's off course. It fails its way to the moon. and they make course corrections along the way to get it there. Why do we think we're any different? Because we're not. We can understand these things when it deals with something mechanical like an automobile or a rocket to Mars, but why can't we see the similarities in our own development? Now, if you buy into what I'm saying, if you buy in, and I'm listening to me and I'm buying into it, I am resubscribing to it, is what I'm doing right now. I am re-enlisting in this army of high achievers. I am buying a new ticket because I have goals, and I have meaningful goals. I have things I want to do and stuff I want to develop more of. See, I've gotten greedy for a couple of things, like opening myself up to fabulous relationships. I'm greedy for that now. For those of you who don't understand the beauty of it, oh man, my heart goes out for you. Okay. When you first start, you start taking, you set your aiming point, you know, you get all, you know, lightheaded because, you know, it's pretty heady stuff, you know? But then the hard reality of the problems slap you in the face, because progress in a quantum leap sometimes masquerades as trouble. So it's easy to lose faith. It's easy to lose faith. I've got a thing on the wall over there. I can't see it from here, but I think I can kind of read it. It says, when you run out of the light, of all the light you have known, and you come to the edge of darkness, and you take your first step, one of two things will happen. Either you will step on something hard, or you will be taught how to fly. That's faith. And that's what this is. It's an act of faith. Make no mistake about it. But it's easy to lose faith because other people can withdraw their support and be critical of your efforts. That, plus your own anxiety and your own uncertainties, can tempt you to turn around and head back toward the safety of the former status quo. Now, this is the critical point. Don't give up here. Don't dig up. Take a deep breath and exhale. Failure belongs right here. Remember the average self-made millionaire in America? You know, that 3% of our total population, or even less than that, you know, they've had to fail 18 times to become that eventual success. But when they did it dead solid perfect, just like Thomas Edison. Dead solid perfect. Remember this, the failure does not mean you're defeated. Actually, this part of the struggle will give you strength. It's like tempering the steel or the soreness that's in your muscles when you work out. The difficulties are just as evident that you're learning and that you're progressing. So, what do I say? Go looking for the failure, then use it. Don't interpret problems or breakdowns as proof that you should quit. But that is the reason that people don't go on, they fail. And then they could always say, well, I tried, you know, I tried. Instead, you want to look at these problems as evidence of your growth. Look at these problems as evidence of your improvement. Failure is a resource. Fail forward. Be one of the most successful failures of your generation. Fail forward. It will help you find the edge. It will take you to the limits of your possibilities. Wow, we've done 10. We've done 10 of these. We're moving right along. Moving right along. It's 12 minutes before the hour of 6. You know what? It seems like we get into this show and it just flies by. Have you ever noticed that? It just flies by once we're on the air. It just goes. I just love it. I'm hoping down the road as we get into this thing on the internet that we'll be able to maybe even take calls. You know, and maybe take a one or two calls per show just to get the pulse of the people who are listening to the show. I mean, beyond just the emails that we see. But because I'm a phone guy, I'm not really an email guy. I'm not a text message guy. I'm not an email guy. I'm a phone guy. I want to hear the tone of your voice. I want to hear how you feel. I want to hear the excitement in your voice. I want to feel that. So I guess that's old school. That's the old school in me. So I buy into the email thing, you know, I'll read them, you know, don't expect an answer, but if it's compelling enough, I might answer one once in a while, but don't go looking for it. Anyway, We're going to pick up right there next week. We're going to pick up with number 11. We're going to shift gears right now and see if and get into something that I simply wanted to talk about today, simply because I've been discussing it a little bit in my class. The Dirty Dozen. I started with this last week, and I had one of my clients come in, and she said, you know, I felt sad when you were talking about that in class the other day because, well, you know, I have this image of you, and when you told us about the dark place you were in, and it's hard to visualize you there. Well, you know, seeing me today is very hard to visualize me there, but it's not about where I've been. It's where I'm going. And it's the same thing with you. You can't let where you've been stop you from going where you need, where you want to go, or you're capable of going. Oh, gang, I've been some dark places. This is what I said to her that made her sad. I said, there was one time I walked into a room with no plans on ever leaving it. In fact, what I was thinking about, I was wondering what was going to be the response of the people that found me in that room. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. No one's proud of something like that. But there are a lot of people, more than you might believe, who've been in places like that. And I've been in that place. It was a dark place. And sometimes those places are filled with water, and that water is very deep and very, very cold. And but it doesn't mean we have to stay there. And as I looked at my life, I was able to identify 12 dirty behavioral characteristics, 12 of them, that seemed to form the essence of that negativity surrounding me. And in order for me to change direction, get on a new path, I had to change how I saw myself. I mean, I think everyone needs to constantly work on our self-esteem and our self-image and how much we like ourselves. But these 12, this is what I came up with. If you find three of these that fit, that match your personality, that means you need to do some serious work, some serious work. You need to spend some attention on building your self-esteem. You need to learn to like yourself more. If you find between 4 and 8 apply to you, this becomes now a major part of your goal-setting exercises of improving how much you like yourself. And it's between 8 and 12. This has to become the number one overarching goal of your life right now. Number one of the Dirty Dozen. I'm going to say it's not necessarily in order, but I do put this one in first. So maybe I do see it as number one. Jealousy. Jealousy is a sign that you really don't like yourself very much. Either way you use it, either you allow yourself to be made to feel jealous, or you spend time trying to make someone jealous. I'll tell you something right now. For lack of a better name, I'll say her name was Sarah. But I dated a girl once that seemed to be sent to me as a test from God. I mean, every moment with her was just a test. It seemed like every moment I was with her, I wanted to get away from her. And every moment that I was away from her, it's like I wanted to be with her. And she seemed to make me just try to go out of her way to make me jealous. And it worked. But I could kind of hide it sometimes. The jealousy was amazing. They call jealousy the green-headed monster. Oh, that's a kind term. It's far more damaging and devastating than that. Jealousy is number one. Number two is negative talk. Negative talk, especially to ourselves, where you're saying negative things about you. I never finish what I start. I never get things done. I'm always late. I don't pay attention. I'm not a good listener. You're just always talking negatively about yourself. Negative talk, especially to ourselves. Number three, the inability to give compliments. The inability to give compliments. It seems in that case that people are giving away some of themselves. Sometimes they might think about it. Oh boy, that's kind of a good thing, you know. That's kind of a good thing. The inability to give compliments. And the flip side of that is number four, an inability to accept compliments. Using the name Sarah again, but a different person this time. This was a long ago and far away, but I was going to a restaurant on the near north side of Chicago called Barbecue and Brew. Nice little place on the near north side. Kind of a chic, hip kind of a place, Eric. And Sarah and I were going to the restaurant. Parking was difficult in that neighborhood, so we had to park a couple blocks away. And we were walking there. And we got about a block away. We had to cross the street and turn and walk down to the restaurant. And so Sarah reaches over and takes my hand. Just holds hands with me. In other words, she is showing me some affection. She's expressing herself to me. And I'll tell you something. As I walked down the street with it, it appeared that after a while, it almost burned. I had to rub my eyebrow. I had to rub my forehead. I had to, you know, whatever. But I couldn't. I liked myself so little. I felt so insecure and so undeserving that I literally could not accept her affection. She didn't say a word. We got inside the restaurant, and finally she said to me, "It's impossible to love you. It's too hard." You know what I said? I said, "What are you talking about?" As if I didn't know. I know I got a little bit ahead of myself. I went down to number eight, and I'm talking about an inability to receive affection, but it's kind of the same thing. Number four, an inability to accept a compliment. Number four, inability to accept compliments. What do you do when you refuse to accept? You make someone feel bad. Even if someone says, "Boy, that's a really nice shirt you got on there," and you just, you know, this whole thing, or you just ignore it altogether. You tell them that their opinion is meaningless, and that's what you do. You make people feel bad. Number one, jealousy. Number two, negative talk. Number three, the inability to give compliments. Number four, an inability to accept compliments. Number five, not taking our own needs into account. Number six, not asking for what we want. But of course, all at the same time, expecting people to know what we want. Number seven, an unwillingness to give affection. And I taught you about it before. An unwillingness or an inability to receive affection. Number nine, criticism of ourselves and as a result, criticism of others. Now you got to remember, all of these applied to me. All of these are taken from my life. Three of these, you need to do some work on your self-image. You need to build your ability of liking yourself by saying, "I like myself." If it's 4 to 8, it has to become a number one deal. And over 8, it has become your overarching goal. Number nine, criticism of ourselves, and as a result, criticism of others. Number 10, always comparing ourselves with others. Number 11, experiencing guilt, and I'll cover that. I'll go to our guilt page. And number 12, constant poor health. We will review those next week, and we will also give you the 10 steps to permanent change, so make sure you are here. It's about 90 seconds, a minute and a half before the end of the show. I told you we had a great show today, gang. Turn that up, Eric. We got to have a little bit more Marlon the Shaw. Oh, yes. Yeah, I want you to hear, make sure you get two compilation albums, Go Away Little Boy, The Sass and Soul of Sarah Vaughan, and maybe her anthology album. That is those are two fabulous ways of getting connected to this very much overlooked and unappreciated artist. As usual, I want to give a thank you to Bob Adlock, Pat McMahon, the best in the world. JC up in San Fran, sending one out to you. Of course, Eric behind the glass, you're the best, my man. No question about that.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. And of course, the fabulous Natasha, you know, has helped my life something that I never thought it could be.
Thank you.
You are so very welcome. And of course, to all of you out there, remember to be true to yourselves. Keep your thoughts, your words, and your behaviors the same. They call me the Mac Daddy. 3, 2, 1. Peace. The Mac Daddy is out.